And I was really hungry one night, and I saw this flashing sign that said, pizza, pizza. I was so hungry, so I ordered this pepperoni pizza with cheese. But I noticed that when I got it in the box wasn't warm. And when I opened it up, it was one of those bake-your-own pizza places. So it was dough and cheese and pepperoni, still cold. I was so hungry, I got in the car. I had thoughts of just eating it just like that, the dough and all.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Have you ever prayed for a miracle and then wondered why it was taking so long for God to answer? We all have. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to show us a story in the Bible of a miracle that took place not instantly, but over a period of time, and it required some cooperation from the guy who was receiving the miracle. He sort of had to bake his own pizza. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Living in the Midst of a Miracle.
How many of you have personally seen or experienced in someone's life or your own a miracle? How many of you say, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Today we're going to take a closer look at the anatomy of a miracle. Almost as if in this scripture passage that we're going to study, it's almost as if the Lord slowed down the camera of a miracle and put it into slow motion so that we could take a look and actually examine and dissect the components of a miracle so that we'll better know the ways of God in order to cooperate with Him. Now, this miracle takes place in the book of Acts, and if you have been reading along with us in the book of Acts in our daily devotions, then you'll see that the book of Acts is actually the story of the forming of the early church, a very young church that has just birthed. Now, the church is growing, and so is opposition. That is something that is common to all growing churches, problems and opposition. And in this case, in Acts chapter 12, they single out Peter and throw him in jail for what he's doing in spreading the gospel. So the people that oppose it are upset. They throw him in jail. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 6, says that while he was there, in fact, it was the very night that Herod was going to actually bring him before the tribunal and accuse him and take him as would please the people, put him to death. But that night, he was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains. So they actually were guarding him very closely. And he was sleeping. And the guards were also in front of the door by the gate watching over the whole prison. Now, let's take a look at a miracle in motion. Let's read it together. Following story on PowerPoint. Ready? Go. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and roused him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And then finally, and when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me." Interestingly, you'll note that an obvious miracle had taken place. However, Peter did not know he was walking in the midst of a miracle. He thought it was unreal, surrealistic. He thought maybe he was dreaming. But this miracle wasn't an instantaneous one. You see, it had to take into account time to get Peter up. So he roused Peter. Peter had to get up. And then he says, "Now, put on your clothes and put on your sandals." So he ties his sandals. "Put on your clothes." I don't know, maybe he was sleeping in his bibs. So he put on his clothes. And he said, "Now, go get a coat." So he had to look through the closet and get the coat that he wanted to. "Follow me." So he started following the angel. And it said, and he continued to follow him all the way up through the two guards that were watching. And for some reason, God blinded their eyes. But Peter didn't know it. And so he actually walked through potential danger, potential opposition, but he kept following all the way to the end, all the way to the gate that leads into the city, which opened up by itself. And it was there, the Bible says, that he came to himself and said, "Man, I was in the midst of a miracle, and I didn't even know it." You see, although this is an obvious miracle, I want you to see something about miracles with me today. Some miracles are instantaneous. I mean, it takes place in a flash. In a healing or something where a condition was existing, all of a sudden, bang, no time intervening, all of a sudden it's changed, and once was is no longer. Something happens immediately. Now, that's most of the miracles that we know about and that we see and kind of wows us. But I want to introduce you to a miracle that we've been introduced to in Acts chapter 12. And actually, as you see this, you'll see that it runs throughout the Bible. And this kind of miracle is a more drawn-out miracle. It's a miracle that takes place over a period of time. But like in Peter's case, he didn't even realize he was in the midst of a miracle until he followed all the way to the gate. But these kinds of miracles are the things life's made of, destiny's made of. This kind of miracle is more like a process than it is a punctuation. It takes more of a season rather than a second. Now, you notice that this kind of miracle, however, required something of Peter. This kind of miracle required Peter's cooperation and partnership in order for it to be fulfilled. Peter, get up. He had to be able to get up. Peter, put on your sandals and your clothes, and it took time to tie his sandals. Peter, get your coat on. And he zips it up. Peter, follow me. And he continued to follow. What about the guards? Just keep following. And in potential opposition, he keeps following. And then when he finally gets to the gate and turns around, he says, "Yo, that was a miracle." But it wasn't an instant one. It was a drawn-out, protracted one. But I want you to see with me that those kinds of miracles required something of Peter. And at any point along the way, Peter could have said, "I am not going to cooperate. I'm just going to drop out." And it would have ceased everything. Because you see, these kinds of miracles that change destinies, that change ministries, that change futures, often requires something of us along the way for its fulfillment. For example, let's say you're praying for a scholarship to go to a certain college, and all of a sudden, bang, God provides a full ride scholarship to a wonderful institution. And so you're so thankful for this miracle that God gave to you. But the only thing is that it has a requirement to it, that you have to keep at least a B average to keep the scholarship fully activated. And so say because of squandering of time and squandering of resources, your report card comes out and there's D's and C's and F's to it. Well, immediately it deactivates the scholarship and you're disqualified from it. Why? Because although the scholarship was a wonderful provision, a miracle of provision, it still required something of that person to whom it was being given. And it wasn't just a one-time thing. It was to go over 4 years, and it requires something. The same is true with the Lord in these protracted kinds of miracles. It requires our obedience, our cooperation, your partnership. God is going to say to you, get up. Wake up to something that you've been slumbering to. Wake up, and it's going to require us to get up. Put on your sandals and gird yourself. God is going to say, set into motion, into direction, that which was that you were dragging your feet on and was just ambivalent about in direction. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to give you direction. Now move that way. And we have to put into motion something that God is prompting us to. And now follow me. Even in the midst of distraction, in the midst of opposition, keep following me. And we have to keep following him all the way to the gates. You see, when I saw this, it just opened up a whole new view of what obedience was. Because you see, sometimes we look at obedience as God having this iron fist God being a rigid, stoic kind of taskmaster doesn't want you to laugh or play. He just wants you to obey, obey, obey. You can't do this and can't do that and can't do this and can't do that. And we think that that's the kind of God we serve. That's the furthest thing from who God really is. Why does God want us to obey him? I'll tell you why. Because God knows that there may be a miracle in motion. And God is rooting you on, saying, this miracle is depending upon your partnership, depending upon your cooperation. And I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. I know that there's a miracle in motion right now, brother, right now, sister. You may very well be walking in the midst of a miracle. So you say, well, Wayne, why doesn't God just tell us? You know, that so that when we know we're in the midst of a miracle, man, I'll just change my ways. I mean, like, you know, the first day of the month, how the sirens go on around here, you know, in Hawaii at 11:45, and whoa, and you hear on the radio, this is a test, this is a test, this is only a test. And man, God, maybe he could do that with us. So when I hear it's a test, well, I just straighten right up. Why doesn't God do that? I'll tell you why he doesn't. Because God doesn't want our performance to commandeer a miracle. Because if he just gets our performance, when the miracle is delivered, we'll go back. Our heart will not have changed. And that miracle will destroy you because you won't have the character to sustain that new weight, that new responsibility of what to do with what God gives to you, a promise or finances or a relationship. So what God does is you may be very well now walking in the midst of a miracle, but he doesn't want your performance. He wants a joyful relationship, an authentic and genuine willingness to hear him, period, so that you just comply. You see, Peter didn't tie his sandals in order to get the miracle. He didn't get up in order to get the miracle. He didn't follow in order to grasp or commandeer the miracle. He did it because he had developed a relationship with the Lord and he wanted to follow God. See, God at his heart, not his performance, his heart. It maybe gave birth to performance, but you don't just have performance, you have heart. And that's what God is looking for. You see, because when you're in the midst of a miracle and you're saying, you know, I may very well be in the midst of a miracle, Lord, and I'm going to comply and I'm going to follow you, period. Then when that happens, I tell you, we don't make the miracle. A miracle begins to make us. We don't shape the miracle for our use. The miracle begins to shape you for God's use. You see, what God has planned to become something, say, of a wonderful miracle can be compromised. Just like Peter, who at any time could have pulled out, could have just squandered, rejected what the Lord was saying, and would have somehow stopped that, diminished the beauty of that miracle. The same is true when you're in a dating relationship. God may have a beautiful miracle, just all planned and designed. But in order for that to come to pass, you've got to follow him at every turn to listen. Because you see, often due to my impatience and my desire, I can settle for less than God's best or not follow him all the way to the gates, stop halfway and then say, this is taking too long. I want this now. And then what happens? I settle for less than God's best. I remember when I was dating Anna, I was a young, vulnerable 20 years old. And my girlfriend at that time, Anna, had been stalking me for about a year and a half. I tried to put her off as much as I could, but I couldn't anymore. But I remember the Lord speaking to me one night in prayer, and the Lord said, Wayne, I've got something really wonderful planned for you and your family and your future, but you've got to do it my way. Respect my ways, because if you want Bible blessings, you've got to do it Bible way. And so I remember just really asking and inquiring of the Lord about everything, you know, and so make sure, you know, because I'm a red-blooded human being just like anybody else. And so there'll be times late at night we'd be in the car and, you know, I'd start to sweat and I'd say, you know, it's time to take you home. And she'd say, the night is but young. She'd look at me. I remember once, you know, I just was hearing the Lord say, Do it my way. Do it my, don't mess up now what I'm planning for you. We were ice skating in this little ice arena, and she fell down and kind of scooted on the ice. Well, I helped her up, and when she got up, there was ice all over the back of her pants. So I went to brush it off. So, oh, no, 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 no. But I just so remember so clearly the Lord saying, make sure you do it my way. And years later, when I catch this out of Acts 12, I flash back to that, and I begin to understand. So, oh, Lord, that was it, huh? Thank you, Lord. Some time ago, I was in Portland, Oregon, and I was really hungry one night, and I saw this in this unknown area that I had not gone in before. It had this flashing sign that said, pizza, pizza. I was so hungry, so I just got done speaking at a church, so I pulled in, and I stopped to get this pizza. So, I mean, the menus were there, so I ordered this pepperoni pizza with cheese. And they bring it out really fast, like within 3 minutes. So I thought, wow, man, these buggers are fast. And so I thought maybe they've already heated up in advance. But I noticed that when I got it in the box wasn't warm. And so I paid for it. I thought maybe it's just fresh in this thing. And so just peeked into it because I didn't smell anything. And when I opened it up, it was one of those bake-your-own pizza places. So it was dough and cheese and pepperoni, still cold. Well, I was too embarrassed to say, that's not what I want to eat it now. I was so hungry, I got in the car. I had thoughts of just eating it just like that, the dough and all. I thought, no, that's too gross, man. I can't do that. So I took it to a friend's house, put it in an oven, turned it on, and started baking that thing. I was so starving, just waiting, pacing the kitchen, you know. And then finally, you can smell it. Ooh. And then you look in, and then the cheese is bubbling, and the pepperoni's curling on the edges, you know, and the crust is turning a golden brown. Oh, man, I was just so excited. Woo-hoo. Now I'm going to eat the whole thing. Then I was so hungry, and so I pulled this thing out, and it was just still simmering, you know, the cheese is going boop, 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 bubbling a little bit. And man, I was so hungry. I cut this thing and I was so excited. I just was a pig. I was a pig. And so I got one. And before letting it cool enough, I just grabbed it. Yeah. And the thing stuck to the roof of my mouth. Hot boiling cheese. And when I pulled it off, it took the skin off the top of my mouth. How many of you have bitten into something hot like that? Yeah. Yeah, we're all pigs. I was just hottest thing. And you know what would have been a wonderful meal turned into a tragedy. It was horrible. And for the next week, I paid for my impatience and impetuous, starving kind of inability to control myself. And I thought, oh, man. And I just, every day I had to suck on ice, you know, and it was just so, so hard. I tried to put Band-Aid on. It was just the worst thing in the world. And I thought, you know, we understand that about pizzas, but we don't even understand that about life sometimes. When that which God has provided for us to be a wonderful, wonderful thing, just us being too impatient, we rush into something that we should have waited for. And we suffer for it later. You say, well, Wayne, what if, you know, I'm not dating, I'm married now, but I did rush into something and I'm paying for it. Now, what do I do? The best thing to do is do exactly what the Bible says. If you'll come to him with a repentant heart, 1 John 1:9 says this, if I confess my sin, don't hide it and don't justify it. Don't say, well, that's what everybody else does. Kill the pride and say, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. If you'll confess your sins, the scripture says he'll be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To go to that person, the guy or the girl, and say, you know, I did it wrong. That was wrong. That was not God's way. Will you forgive me for violating you? Would you forgive me for giving into that whole situation? Well, what are you saying that for? Because I violated not only you, I violated God. And I repent. And you see, regardless of what that other person says, God will hear your heart. And he'll bring forgiveness and he'll start a healing. Now, when you ask God for forgiveness, always receive not only forgiveness, but receive something that comes along with it and make sure you get this other thing. Comes two to a package. It comes forgiveness and this, and that is wisdom. Make sure you take wisdom. Because you see, if I just want forgiveness, but I don't want to change, because you see, it's wisdom that helps you to change so that you don't repeat the same thing again and again and again. Say, God, give me forgiveness. And then I lop into it again. God, give me forgiveness. Because what we're asking for at that point is not a changed heart. Just get rid of the guilt. Get rid of the consequences of my evil, my sin, my impulsiveness, my impatience. Get rid of the consequences of it. But I really don't want to change. You see, that's not available. God is saying, I'll give you forgiveness if you'll take wisdom along with it so that you won't repeat it and you'll be different because of it. And God will say, good, I can work all things together. He'll start a cleansing process. There might be some areas of discipline. That's why we got to get up when he says get up. Follow when he says follow. Why? Because God knows you're in the midst of a miracle. And God is saying, if you will obey, the miracle will be fulfilled and I'm rooting for you. Please, please obey. Not because he's an iron-fisted God, but because he's a loving God and he knows the plans that he has for you. You may very well right now be walking in the midst of a miracle. You might not know exactly when that miracle will be complete, but follow him all the way to the gates, even though you don't see him. That's why 1 Peter 1:8 says this, and though you don't see him, yet you love him. And though you don't even see him now, still you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Because one day, as I comply joyfully with all that God is saying to me, because I may be walking in the midst of a miracle for my life, for my family, for this church, and I just cherish that so much, I don't want to mess it up, that it behooves me to walk in obedience to him. And one day, as I follow him all the way to the gates, I'll turn around one day. And I'll look back and I'll say, what a miracle. What a miracle God has done in my life. The Lord said to Peter, get up. When the Lord says that to you in application, what might he be saying to you? Maybe God is rousing you right now and saying, awaken. Awaken to something that you've been asleep to or slumbering to. What is it? Something about your devotion, something about that which you should cherish, but instead we have been devaluing, something we should keep instead of throw away, something we should be grateful for, maybe that we're not. Wake up, God is saying, wake up. God may be saying to you, put into motion what you've been dragging your feet on, what I've spoken to you about, clothe yourself, move in forward motion. Don't just stay there. I don't know if I want to really follow God that way because there might be opposition. Yeah, there's going to be potential opposition. But keep following me, the Lord says. Because those guards that could be, as it were, potential opposition, I'll blind them. You'll walk right through them. And just like Peter, one day you'll turn around and you'll say, what a miracle he's made of my life. Start today. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, his instruction to you right now may be, come, follow me now, just like he said to Peter, and follow me all the way to the gates. And your first step might be saying yes. You're getting up. You're preparing your heart and following him is simply you saying yes to the invitation of following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your heart will be prompted because you know you need forgiveness. You know that you need God's direction and God's new beginnings. Then get up and follow him. Don't let a miracle be diminished or destroyed because of our unwillingness to cooperate with him every step of the way. Does that mean that I do the miracle? No, I cooperate with, I partner with him. God always looking for a relationship with his people. And so he invites us into that relationship. So if you've never received the Lord, do it today. But if you're here, hear what God might have to say to you about getting up and what that means, about girding yourself and moving forward, about keeping your eyes on him and not on the opposition. And maybe some of you, God is saying, you're not at the gate yet. Follow me all the way to the gate. Be patient. Don't bite into anything too soon, because I know the plans that I have for you, and they're wonderful, because it may very well be you are in the midst of a miracle, and that miracle will be dependent upon your obedience. Walk with Him. It'll be a joyful realization.
You have just heard a message entitled Living in the Midst of a Miracle by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.